WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The end is near at former President Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial. CBS's Matt Piper is at the courthouse in New York.
Closing arguments from both sides could last the whole day, which means the jury very well could get the case tomorrow and begin deliberations. There's no telling how long that may happen, but if it's quick, we could have a verdict tomorrow.
Protests in cities around the world after an Israeli airstrike killed at least 45 civilians in southern Gaza. CBS's David Martin.
Israelis have told the U.S. the horrific death toll was caused by a piece of shrapnel which pierced a fuel tank, setting off a fire that engulfed a tent housing refugees.
More severe weather in the forecast for parts of the southern U.S. after wicked weekend storms killed at least 23 people. Margie Whitaker lives in Meade County, Kentucky.
My windows all started rattling and it made a horrible noise. My son was letting the dogs in the back door and he hollered tornado.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service says three tornadoes touched down in Rock and Jefferson counties in southeast Wisconsin Sunday afternoon. One tornado was on the ground for 22 minutes. Another carved a path about 14 miles long. All the tornadoes reached top speeds of about 80 miles an hour. The damage appears to be limited to trees, power lines, and buildings. Amtrak's new Borealis line has been up and running for about a week. Federal transportation officials say they're not done adding more service in Wisconsin.
We're also funding a number of planning efforts that would introduce additional connections through Eau Claire, more service for potentially expansions of the Hiawatha line, more for La Crosse as well.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has announced over $23 million in grant funding to build up the state's electric vehicle charging infrastructure. According to a press release, more than 10 municipalities in the Northwest Wisconsin region have been selected to participate in the grant program, which will give them the first federally funded fast-charging electric vehicle stations in the state. Department of Transportation officials also expect Wisconsin to receive about $78 million over the next 5 years. A Chippewa Falls nonprofit organization has nearly raised enough money to construct an affordable housing project. According to a WQOW report, Hope Village is only a few thousand dollars away from raising $2.7 million for the project, which will include a total of 3 6-plexes, 5 duplexes, a playground, and a multi-purpose building. The organization has also applied for a $2 million grant for the project. A golf fundraiser for the project is scheduled for July 29th, and donations can be made online. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The return of Craig Counsell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell holds the Brewers Club record for most career wins as a manager. But when he returned to AmFam Field wearing a Cubs uniform, he got nothing but boos. Counsell asked if he watched the brief tribute video in his honor on the scoreboard.
I didn't see much of the video. I don't know. It wasn't on very long. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said before the game. I mean, I think, you know, the fans are here to enjoy a day, enjoy a baseball game. They get to do what they want, and hopefully they had a good time.
The Cubs losing 5-1 to the Brewers thanks to a clutch 3-run homer by Willie Adames in the eighth and Robert Gasser pitching another beauty, 6 scoreless innings. The two teams play again tonight. The Brewers now with a 4.5-game lead over Chicago in the NL Central.
You know, guys, it's the third of the season, so we got a long way to go. This is a nice win, and, you know, we got a long way to go.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy at times later this afternoon. High of 64 with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, sunshine 70. On Thursday, sunny with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a hey, big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning, Chief Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. It was a good long weekend. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, man. I thought about you, man. An extra day.
Yeah, the extra day goes a long way.
Yeah, man. It's you know, it's one day closer to another weekend, right?
That's right.
All right. Hey, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. It was a good weekend. I didn't burn the chicken.
Well.
And I think Calvin's going to become a proponent for the four-day work week.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Calvin,
maybe we all should, you know?
You know, it is something that interests me, but we got radio to do. It'd be a little weird leaving it with just 4 days.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, I had a long weekend. I had, you know, 30 pounds of chicken.
Which is a lot to eat, Earl. Yeah, you should have stopped at about one.
So Calvin, I was on a grill for 7 straight hours. On Saturday, man, standing up 7 straight hours. And you know, Sandy,
did you singe all the hair on your arm? Sometimes when I'm over the grill, you know, what's that? Oh, well, that's, you know, my hair's,
you know,
burning.
You know, that great apron that you gave me.
Yeah.
Man, it makes all the difference in the world. Prior to you giving me that apron.
Mm-hmm.
I would stand in front of the grill with nothing.
Well, actually, Earl would be dressed. I mean, where he's not saying yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because he was drawing quite a crowd.
Well.
Yeah, what did I give you, that lacy apron?
Yeah.
No.
Well, but what it does is deflects the heat.
Yes.
And when you're standing in front of a grill for that many hours, you realize just how important that item is, right? Not that I plan on doing that again until maybe next year.
I'm just kidding. This is annual, though. I remember last year at this time we talked about the same thing.
Do it every year.
So well, and just, then there's Thanksgiving where you cook all those turkeys.
Yeah. Well, it's year 12 of Heal the Hood, and that's an event, a huge block party in the city of Milwaukee. It's supported by the mayor and other people. And so, you know, a lot of dignitaries and other people are there. And so it's good to serve. We had our guys, the Voices of the Elders, our organization there volunteering their time and effort. And it's always great to see families and events that take place in the city that's maligned for always being really violent. And so throughout that 10 hours went on, about as much as an argument. So I'm, you know, that's always a great thing. I'm always excited about
I think the
that.
Problem with news is that it only talks about bad things that happen, right? I mean, when,
yeah.
Or tremendously good things like somebody winning the pennant or yeah. something. But I mean, the day-to-day things that happen that are joyful don't get covered by the news. It's just the argument that, the bad argument.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of families. And anyway, it was a great time. Yesterday I was back at the grill, but not for 30 pounds of chicken. Did some grilling at home. And but I've kind of had my fill of grilling for a while. Anyway, you know, those days of, you know, grilling for large groups of people, you still do that.
Well, the largest group is my assembled family, which is
that's pretty,
gets to be sizable, but it isn't 30 pounds of chicken,
yeah.
I'll tell you.
I don't care if I ever see another piece of chicken for a long time to come. But anyway, an awful lot to talk about this morning. As always, you can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Now, Sandy, before we get into all of that, by the end of this week, it's June.
Yeah.
Man,
where is this year going?
Hey, man, it's June.
The Republican convention is a month and a half off.
Sandy.
It's just whipping along.
Once we hit a certain point in our lives, time just flies.
And it's not necessarily because we're having fun.
No. Man, it's amazing to me that it's June.
Yeah.
Right? But anyway, let's talk a little bit, man, about, you know, the passing of Bill Walton.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, well, you mentioned it as well, but, you know, the NBA finals are almost upon us. And I think the much bigger news and the news that sobered everyone up was Bill Walton. And then we can talk about something else and another tragic death in the golf world. But Bill Walton was such a heroic, such a fun character, actually. I think everybody who watched NBA basketball loved to watch him play. He was such a joyful player, and then his broadcasting was fantastic.
Well, you know, even before the NBA,
yeah.
I remember him in college at UCLA, and I remember him being a very athletic 6'11" inch, 7 foot tall guy who faced the basket. UCLA had 4 years of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a guy.
Well, and at that point, it was Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, Lou Alcindor, a guy who had his back to the basket.
Right.
Completely different players, and it just changed. Bill Walton is one of those guys who today you find a lot of centers facing the basket. Bill Walton was one of the first to do that.
Yeah, like Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
I think he played a lot the same way, actually. I suspect in today's world, Walton would still be a star.
Yeah, and you know, Bill Walton was, as a young guy, he was enigmatic. You know, he was a guy who, you know, early on you could kind of see that he probably, you know, took a toke or two. In his early years at UCLA.
Well, I just heard some snippets of his broadcasting, too. He was an intellectual. You know, he talked about, the snippet I heard was him comparing one of the players to Beethoven's Third Symphony. I thought, huh, wow.
He was also a character, man. You know, he played a lot of jokes. He did a lot of different things. But more than anything else, if you really knew who Bill Walton was, you saw a guy who was a humanitarian. And you'd have to really know of him to know that that's who he really was, you know, in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And every day he said he got up, he wanted to make a difference in the lives of somebody else. And that's who Bill Walton was. And, you know, gone too soon, 71 years old. You know, that's why you got to just take advantage of every day that we have. And you said a golfer. I didn't hear about the golfer. Who was it?
Well, yeah. Tragically, a golfer named Grayson Murray, 31 years old.
Oh, 31.
He was in the midst of a tournament this weekend. He'd won a couple of tournaments his rookie year. He talked during his career then about battling depression and addiction. He walked off the tournament after the second day, and apparently the next day tragically committed suicide. Wow. In fact, I think we have a guest on Friday that's going to talk about depression and suicide awareness, but suicide is something that people are so reluctant to talk about, and it's such a prevalent problem, particularly in our country. This Grayson Murray episode definitely brought everyone in the PGA sort of up short and sobered up about what is important in life, in the same manner that losing someone like Bill Walton.
Sandy, suicide is expanding. Suicide is generally done by young people.
Yeah.
Who haven't really had a chance to live their lives. It's rare that you find out about, a seasoned person taking their lives, but it's young people who really haven't had a chance to live. And sometimes life circumstances seems almost unbearable to so many people. And we take for granted,
yeah.
I think those of us who are able to navigate life. Life's not always easy for people.
Yeah, we'll talk about it Friday. We don't have to depress ourselves now. Yeah. But a statistic that's very sad is the fact that more veterans have lost their life by suicide since the beginning of the Vietnamese War than all of the veterans who died in war. So, it's a terrible problem. And it's one that we need to be awake to and not suppress thinking about, because it's there, and lots of families have been touched by it.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to thank Calvin for, on yesterday, playing that show where we had our good friends, Sandy, Roger and Mark Foreman, playing that back on Memorial Day, I think was genius, Calvin. And as I listened to it, it was perfect. So thank you for doing that, man. It was really perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was a powerful hour, and I thought it was thematically appropriate.
Yeah, it was. It really was. So anyway, we got a lot to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about James Carville. If you don't know who that is he still married to that woman who was on the other side of...
I don't remember, but I do remember at the time.
Madeline something, I don't know.
Yeah, and she was a Reaganite, and he was a Clintonite,
yeah.
and the two of them married.
Can you imagine?
Well, and he's a character. He's a remarkable character, but he's the one who originated the It's the Economy, Stupid, and when he was head of the Clinton campaign, and he remains a gadfly and a very active pal in terms of being a consultant.
Can you imagine today a MAGA person and a far leftist being married together and making it work?
You mean like George Conway? That's right, that didn't work.
Yeah. And Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about, we really want to talk about how it's possible that, how do we bring back together those who are separated in this nation right now? Because it almost appears to be impossible. And Sandy, I think you talked a little bit about the fact that the Civil War, we still haven't come to grips with that yet. So we'll talk about that, many more things. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with Sandy Williams.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with civic media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn? Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
93.5 The Tap.
Virgil Cain is the name, and I served on the Denver train till Stoneman's cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. Ooh. In the winter of 65, ooh, we was hungry, just barely alive. Ooh. A May 10th, Richmond and Finn. Ooh. It was a time
All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music that you picked out for today.
Well, this is we didn't do a show yet on Memorial Day. This is kind of Memorial Day music. It's about the various wars. That's Jerry Garcia's band actually performing at the Bradley Center in 1991. But that's the Civil War.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, James Carville and Bill Maher, they're both talking the same talk, and that is they tell the truth. I think the Democrats – wait, just let me finish, Mr. Earl. The Democrats have a problem criticizing – Joe Biden. And me, as Republican, I have no problems telling you about how much disdain I have with Donald Trump. I mean, there's a lot of problems that he has. You guys just need to realize, I mean, we have two people to pick from. I keep telling you guys that all the time.
Oh, we don't know that?
You just have to, yeah. You have to be honest with each other and you know,
Well. Let me just say. I think both Earl and I have been critical of Joe Biden. I think we talked about his age. I think we've talked about the fact that if there could be another candidate, that would probably be not a bad thing. But you're right. We only have two candidates, so now we're down to that. So now we're trying to pick and choose between them. But I think with respect to the people you're talking to. There's been a fair amount of critical thinking about who the candidate from the Democratic Party ought to be, as well as the Republican.
And Gary, I also think that when you call and say you're telling the truth, as if you've got something, you know, to back you up, and that we are somehow not being truthful because you believe that Donald Trump is, you have a right to your opinion and your belief, but that doesn't make it fact, man.
I always tell you it's not fact. I always tell you that when you guys talk about, oh yeah, Donald Trump said this and that. Well, you know what? I say, well, I wasn't in the room, but do I believe that he actually said that or whatever? You know, I'm not a witness to this stuff. So I always give you my opinion. Now, as far as getting together, I'm on my way. I'm in Fox Point right now, and my customer is waiting for me. But I'll tell you something once. I talk politics with this gal, and I've known this gal for 40 years. Little did I know that she was going to come down on me when I talked about Trump. And she said, you're going to vote for Trump. She threw me out of the house. We've known each other for 40 years. I've taken care of her furnace and her air conditioner. I replaced them twice already. And all of a sudden, I came home that night and I told my wife, I said, I'll never hear from this gal again, ever. And I said, I'm really sad that she hates my guts because I'm going to vote for Trump. all of a sudden, about a month later, she called up and said, "Oh, Gary, this is something like, you know, I need this, I need that." And I said, "I thought I'd never hear from you again." "Oh, no, no, I don't let politics ruin our relationship." That's the way it should be.
Hey Gary, first off, you know, you're getting away with using the term gal to talk to women. It kind of ages, predates you. Women today don't like to be called gals. That's number one. Number two, Gary, you know, thanks for the story, man. I don't have the stomach.
Well, I think actually, I think the story is symptomatic of a problem we've got, and I think it's the problem we're going to be talking about. So, no, I think you're right that we have a great deal of trouble. Once we find out which side we're on, we tend to put a fence between us and draw personal conclusions, and I think that's the very problem. So I'm glad you recited that story, because that's exactly what we need to get behind us.
Well, since we're there now, and we were going to get into that a little bit later on, Gary opened up Pandora's box. You know, 844-967-2789 is the number. And you know, listening to Gary, and again, Gary represents, you know, a lot of people. I keep hearing one of the things that frustrates me, Sandy, is when I hear people say, you know, 70 million Americans, this is how we feel, excuse me, and you're dismissing the 70 million of us because that's how we feel. Well, there's people on the other side, and I don't ever hear them say, you know, 80 million of us feel this way, and the other 70 million, it's that kind of, you know, Sandy, I think, conversation. When we begin having conversations, we can't have it like that.
Well, but both sides are guilty. You know, we end up with people calling on from the left who are describing the right, and we have people from the right describing the left, all of them having a sort of a blanket description, categorically defining the opposition. It's we, they. You know, we've become, our whole political discourse has become we, they. It's not idea versus idea, but it's we, they.
Well, you know, Sandy,
and that's the problem.
But so part of that is when you hear people say, we are not going to accept the outcome. When you hear people say, it doesn't matter, you know, we were robbed. And here it is 4 years later, and you're still saying, we are robbed.
There are actually people, when they're interviewed out in the field, who will insist that Donald Trump is the president right now, that he was lawfully elected and therefore is the president, even though Joe Biden's in the White House. I mean, yeah, we have some very confused thoughts, but you're right. The symptom that is the thought that the election is rigged, that the election was stolen, that's the symptom of a very deep problem. One that could destroy the democracy, actually.
So, and that is still, that's being discussed right now, not from what happened 4 years ago. They're talking about if Trump loses.
Right.
We're not, and I'm not just talking about all these people are saying if he loses, we're not accepting that.
Well, they're saying they're not willing yet to say they're going to accept it.
Unless he wins.
Well, which is exactly the language Donald Trump has always used about the election. We'll see. We'll see if I'll do it. But, I mean, the fact is that it's kind of like playing a card game. You have to accept the fact that the other guy won with his cards. You can't pull a gun, stand up, tip the table over, and shoot him. And that's kind of what's going on when we talk like that.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday, that means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee's traditional July 3rd fireworks show at Veterans Park is canceled this year. The County Parks Department blames a lack of sponsors. The fireworks cost about $350,000 alone, with another $20,000 for staffing and related costs. Big summer gatherings can be stressful for people with Alzheimer's. Experts recommend smaller get-togethers instead.
If you normally have a giant picnic with a ton of people, maybe you just have a smaller picnic with yourself and a couple of family members and the person with dementia and go sit at the beach with a nice umbrella and nice cool towels for the neck.
Kristen Cusato is a spokesperson for the Alzheimer's Association. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire Police Department says there was a higher demand for services in 2023. According to the department's annual service report, there were over 49,000 calls for service last year, while overall arrest numbers went down to about 3,200. One potential reason for the increase in service calls was the expansion of the Mental Health Co-Response Program, which took part in nearly 400 responses in 2023, with only 1% ending in an arrest. The department also completed over 700 investigations. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire has announced a new initiative to find solutions to the region's healthcare crisis. In a press release on Thursday, university officials announced the Rural Health Innovation Alliance, which seeks to spur innovation in the healthcare field. The alliance hopes to make the Chippewa Valley the epicenter for testing innovative care models, specifically for rural healthcare. The alliance will also give university students the opportunity to get hands-on experience and learning opportunities. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Variety has posted the predictions for Emmy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actor in the Comedy category. 8 of the top 10 nominees come from just 3 shows, FX's The Bear, Max's Hacks, and ABC's Abbott Elementary. Representing The Bear are Eben Moss Bachrach, Oliver Platt, Maddie Matheson, and Lionel Boyce. Paul Downs and Carl Clemens Hopkins are from Hacks, and Tyler James Williams and Chris Brighetti from Abbott Elementary. Richard Lewis is predicted to receive a posthumous nomination for Curb Your Enthusiasm. The title for the latest installment in the Knives Out franchise has been revealed. The Hollywood Reporter sprung the news that Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery, will debut on Netflix sometime next year. Director Rian Johnson revealed the title on his ex Twitter page, as well as the fact that Daniel Craig will be back as the lead in the latest installment of the whodunit franchise. If they keep making Knives Out films, it's going to seem unbelievable that anyone would be seen at a dinner party with Daniel Craig. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today, mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy at times later this afternoon. High of 64 with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, sunshine 70. On Thursday, sunny with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you decide, don't play with matches.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up
To mighty London came an Irish man one day. All the streets were crowded, sure everyone was gay. Singing songs of Piccadilly, Strand and Leicester Square, till Paddy got excited, then he shouted to them there. It's a long way to Tipperary, it's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. I mean, it's Tuesdays with Sandy Williams and Sandy the Music Choice.
Well, this is sort of Memorial Day music. That's A Long Way to Tipperary by Gene Autry, who was a singing cowboy of the 40s and 50s. Tipperary was at the very southwestern tip of Ireland. When the troops left the United States to go over and fight in World War I, they would land at Tipperary. This song was a big hit during the period of World War I.
So Sandy, Gary from Sussex kind of, began to talk about one of the things that we're going to talk topics that we're going to talk about today. We're going to do it later on in the show, but he opened up the conversation. So we'll take the conversation now. 844-967-2789. This divide with the American people is akin to North versus South and what took place in the Civil War. And Sandy, you stated that in many instances that wound has not been healed.
Well,
this day.
Yeah. I think what's worrisome to me is that the Civil War was a regional, at least nominally was a regional war. It was North versus South. We had the Mason-Dixon line. And if you lived north of the Mason-Dixon line, you were in the Union. If you lived south of it, mostly you were in the Confederacy. And that was the battle line, and that was the division in the country that had to be resolved, we thought, with the end of the Civil War. And we had Reconstruction, and we had a fair amount rebuilding of the relationship between those states. But the fact is that there still remains an echo of the Civil War. If you take the Mason-Dixon line and paint the colors of the states north and south of the Mason-Dixon line. South of the Mason-Dixon line is red. North of the Mason-Dixon line is mainly blue, or at least purple. And so, we still have a sort of a political echo that relates to the social issues. Even after the Civil War, we had the Dixiecrats. We had the Southern Democrats, who formed an alliance with the Northern Unions, and we had the Dixiecrat Democrat Party that was still premised in many respects on the social disunity between North and South. And today, what worries me is that the breakdown we have isn't regional so much. I mean, it's might be rural versus urban, but it's in every state, and it's neighbors against neighbors. Gary mentioned the fact that he was talking to one of his customers and had a breakdown that he thought he had a breakdown that was premised entirely on the political, on the heat associated with the political discussion.
So, Sandy, this divide is not young people. This is an old war. These are old wounds, and these are, if you will, old soldiers. You're in my generation who carry this with us and continue to fight this crazed battle that at some point in time probably will end when we go. Hopefully,
I'm not hopefully that we all go, although it's an inevitable.
Right.
But hopefully it will cut down on the extent of the antipathy between us and the we-they nature of the discussion. And it's interesting, if you try and cut apart the current political debate, there still remains a great deal of echo of the political issues, not just slavery, but the political issues that divided us in the Civil War, states' rights, immigration in a way reflects much like the racial divide in terms of the discussion. So we continue to have in our society a lot of strife, and hopefully as the young people become older, they will bring with them a different view of a lot of these issues.
You know, Sandy, this divide is in homes.
Well, it's certainly in homes at Christmas and Easter when the grand family, the in-laws and the cousins and everyone get together. At that point, I think lots of us bump into political disagreements that can be very strident.
So is it repairable? And is the question. And how do you begin to repair it if you've got a person who continues to pour gas on the fire? Because at the root of it, Sandy, is an arsonist who sees a fire and continues to pour gasoline on that fire.
Yeah, the politics of division needs to stop for us to get over this, because right now politics is being driven by this notion of divide and conquer. Get us arguing at the level that you argue about things that are extremely emotional, you know, emotional arguments, not intellectual arguments. And we need to get over that. And we won't get over it so long as leadership is taking us in the wrong direction. You know, I talk about equilibrium, you know, social equilibrium would be a situation in which there's relative peace, harmony. People have arguments, but without discord. That would be equilibrium. And are we moving towards equilibrium right now or away from equilibrium? And I fear that we might still be on a path moving away from equilibrium. You know, January 6th was certainly a symptom of extreme disequilibrium. But the fact that we have a significant number of people continuing to talk about how they won't accept the outcome of an election, when you understand that if you don't accept the outcome of an election that's been adjudicated by the courts as having gone one way, then what is the option you've got that you're talking about when you're saying you're not going to accept it other than the use of force?
You know, I was watching Tim Scott, you know, the senator from South Carolina, I think he's from.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, and they asked him a direct question. Senator, will you accept the outcome of the election? And he's a respected guy on both sides. Democrats kind of respect Tim Scott and Republicans respect him. And they asked him point blank, and he said, well, when Donald Trump's hand is raised as the winner, then we'll accept what? I mean, it's that kind of thing, Sandy, that in statements that are being made by people who should know better, that keeps us at odds with one another, right? Why is it so difficult for him to say, yeah, well, if you know, the elections, we're going to accept the outcome of it regardless of what happens. That's the right thing to say, right? Well, but he's hedging his bet because he wants to be the vice president. You know, running mate with Donald Trump. He's afraid he might say something that, you know, will eliminate him. And if he said it, if he would say, yes, I'm going to accept it, that would eliminate him.
Well, apparently it would. And, you know, it's astounding to me. It's one of the symptoms I think we have of a failing two-party system, that we have two-party choices, and people maybe aren't happy with the choice, either choice, but the politicians find themselves beholden to kneeling to one or the other of the candidates. And there's certainly one candidate that requires not just kneeling, but ring kissing.
Right.
And more.
And some other.
Yeah. Well, I'm stopping with the ring, but yeah. You know, and the problem is that, so we've got people who are talking in a manner and behaving in a manner that's entirely contrary to our basic democratic pillars, you know, the Constitution, for instance, the peaceful transfer of power between parties, things that are the bedrock for our country. And we should understand that a peaceful, well-operating democracy that has a government that functions properly and it regulates our economy in the manner that it needs to be regulated is the golden goose. It's the reason why we have billionaires in the United States and millionaires. It's the reason why we have prosperity. It's the reason why we have people able to chase the American dream, whether it's easier to catch now or not. All of that is at risk, okay, if we don't take care of it.
You know, Sandy, if people really, and I'm sure people are tired of it. They're tired of this ridiculous reality that we're faced with about, you know, 2020. We still don't believe that was fair. And now we're into 2024, and we don't believe that our nation can be fair and balanced.
I think, to be honest with you, I think it's because the American public holds Congress in such low esteem. I think 29% of the Americans think Congress is okay, and 71% think it isn't. Well, if you've decided that Congress, which is the bedrock of our democracy, isn't okay, then apparently you might lean in the direction of wanting to bypass Congress by electing an authoritarian somebody. And who's running for president that seems to be talking like an authoritarian who wants to bypass Congress, wants to bypass the courts? All of these things which seem to have paralyzed our country, right? We have paralysis in Congress. We have courts that seem to operate very slowly and deliver justice very slowly. And so we have a candidate who's attacking all of it. My question is, what's the end game look like after you've successfully attacked the FBI, the CIA, Congress, judges, all of that? What's the end game look like if you succeed?
You know, Sandy, I'm one of those people who does not believe that Congress is okay. So I've got that in common with some of the folk on the other side. But mine is for different reasons than what theirs are. And I think Congress is not okay when Congress is swayed more by big business and money than it is about the average person that's elected them and put them in office. And I think that as long as we still have Congress that, you know, the court jester, and that Congress is controlled by somebody other than the people who put them in office, I have a problem with that. I think is my reason and rationale. But on the other side, you know, I guess there are people who don't trust Congress because, you know, they've got it in for one man.
I think lots of people have lots of reasons not to trust Congress. I think both sides might not trust Congress because of the sway of big money with respect to it, because both sides see that.
Okay,
but big money seems to get in the way of controlling big money's control of Congress, you know, and so that's a problem. We have all these problems that need to be addressed, but they need to be addressed not by getting rid of the institutions, but by fixing the institutions. It's not un-American or unpatriotic to want to fix the institutions of government. It's much more patriotic to want to fix them than it is to want to destroy them.
So, Sandy, I agree with you totally, but that's common ground. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, we both can agree that that's common ground, that's fertile ground for us to be able to work together and address that. But then you can't bring in Congress is against my man, and they've got a witch hunt against my man, and you put that above, hey, let's work together to address these issues with Congress on both sides of the aisle that impact and affect us. Right? I mean, to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we should be fixing what's wrong and not destroying it. I think that's the fundamental bottom line here, and that's what worries me most.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday, that means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the skee-ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
How does a ragtag volunteer army in need of a shower somehow defeat a global superpower? How do we emerge victorious from the quagmire? Leave the battlefield waving Betsy Ross's flag higher? Yo, turns out we have a secret weapon, an immigrant you know and love who's unafraid to step in. He's constantly confusing, confounding the British henchmen. Everyone give it up for America's favorite fighting Frenchman!
All right, welcome back to Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. And, Calvin, did you know that Sandy was a rap aficionado?
No, that's not rap. You know, that is rap, but it's from the musical Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
And the musical Hamilton tickets used to set people back nearly $1,000 to see a show on Broadway.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it, but it was too expensive.
Yeah,
but it was the biggest hit on Broadway.
Yeah, I remember Hamilton. We were talking about this, and we're gonna finish up this last segment talking about it. You know, and maybe Americans are nauseated, Sandy, and they don't want to talk about it anymore. But because you don't want to talk about it doesn't mean it's going away. And as we ramp up to this election, it's best we get this conversation had before the outcome of the election and Pandora's box is opened up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we need to have the conversation so we'll at least when we come to that point in time, whatever the decision is going to be, we would have at least tempered some of the harsh feelings that we know people are going to have.
Well, I think before the break, you hit the nail on the head that the one issue that seemingly could be a source of agreement across the aisle and across this division is money and politics. And I'm surprised that we can't get the people to agree to that and to spend some of their energy solving that issue, because it might end up solving some of the problems of people's view of Congress. And I think it's the view of Congress and the disdain for Congress that has driven us into this rat hole in a way, in terms of the division between us and the lack of respect we have for elected officials generally. I think that's kind of at the heart of it.
And a lack of respect for one another now.
Well,
if you're on the other side of this.
Well, I do think the other thing we could start doing is reintroducing civility into our culture. You know, I don't know when it stopped.
I think it's too late for that.
Well, it might be. I remember. I sensed the beginning of it long ago in about 1980 when I was at a food place and they asked me for my name and they didn't want my last name. They wanted my first name. And that was sort of the beginning of this lack of civility, because it used to be we were all Mr. Williams or, you know, we went by our last names. Soon we went by our first names and had anonymity because no one knew who we were other than an anonymous first name. And after that, everything else dropped.
All right, let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. How are you doing? You say what?
I'm doing fine. And another great show. I really agree with you. There is a lack of civility in almost every walk of life. And no matter who you talk to, I refuse to talk politics with anybody. I do have, of course, my views, but I don't want to get into an argument. I don't want to have this strife in my life, figuring if I go to a family function that there's going to be people yelling and screaming at each other. I want to have some release from that. But I think that what you did is hit the nail on the head. We have to go and vote people into office who are going to actually take these severe problems we have. It seems that Congress is driven by greed and politics. They don't work together anymore. It's not for the people of this country. It's for individuals to get wealthy. And that is not what our government was set up to be. It is we the people. It is us. So until we get some of these people out of office and we demand that they put caps on all this stuff, it's the same thing. If we're going to look at the Supreme Court now, we have two people who really shouldn't be sitting on the bench. How, with their political beliefs and what they have done, how can they be non-judgmental? They can't. So we have to get our people back into office who are not strictly politics driven, but are driven to help the people of this country.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Well said. You know, and the last thing that I'll say about this today anyway, is that there's some people who love to have that us against them. And they thrive on that us against them. You know, I was watching Fox News the other day, something I haven't done in a while. But something, for whatever reason, I said, let me see if they've changed anything. They've dug in deeper. Same thing with MSNBC. They've dug in deeper. And the whole focus is on whether or not Donald Trump is going to be found guilty, you know, in this trial. And nonstop coverage on that, to me, that's ridiculous. I mean, I believe he's not going to be found guilty. There's no way 12 jurors are going to all agree. So, you know, I mean, why spend all that time and energy and effort and then you get frustrated after you find out he's been, you know, not found guilty? Now where do you go?
Well, that's why, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Mitt Romney's suggestion that there maybe should be pardons. Now, he couldn't have been pardoned on this by the president, but in some regards, having these trials, while it's fundamentally important to prove that no one is above the law, becomes a sparkling object that is sparkling beyond compare. You know, you have to pay, if you're in the news media, you have to pay attention to it because it's an ex-president, he's in court. What else, what could be bigger news, right? But we have so many problems, societal problems, so many issues that we need to address, and it's this kind of bonfire. This is a bonfire, not a brush fire. But it's this kind of brush fire, bonfire that distracts us from actually solving stuff and moving the ball forward for Tom, Dick, and Mary.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Got a lot more to talk about on the other side. 844-967-2789 is the number.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Florida's governor removes mentions of a changing climate from state law. A TV meteorologist was having none of that.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. CBS.